Pastor Jim Mandel.
Yeah, I feel like I just was up here.
There you go.
Thank you, brother.
Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Amen. You know, if you're here, and those that are listening, you're not here by accident. You're here because God is drawing you here. And I want everyone to realize that God's love is so deep and so great and so wonderful that He doesn't hold anything against us. So if we didn't live a life that seemed to be normal, or if it was like roughnecked, and you want to start a new life, well, you're at a perfect place right now, because God doesn't hold anything against us. How many people realize that God doesn't hold anything against us? Everything is just washed away. It's like yesterday is gone, and today is a new day. And we need to realize that you can't bring back yesterday. You know, the only way we bring yesterday back is by us resurrecting it and bringing it up and constantly meditating on it and bringing it up. But sometimes that's not real healthy. It just puts a lot of shame, a lot of guilt, a lot of condemnation on us. But God wants us to just be renewed, be born again, kind of like a new life. And so if we can today say, this is my new life, today is a new life, today I'm starting fresh, I don't care what happened to me in the past, today's a new life. And then begin to put on a new name, put a new disposition, put something on you to make it new. I do it with myself. Just recently I've been saying, I'm a pastor. Before, for the longest time, I would never even say I was a pastor. Oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that, I'm this. You know, I raise horses, I raise this, I do that, I work on trucks, I do this. But now I just recently said, no, I'm a pastor. Just watching people's responses. What? They look at you like, what? Oh, judgment, right away. What, they're supposed to look a certain way or what? But God loves us, and because of His love, there's a message in God and in the love of God. And for one, we have to receive the fact that God loves us. That's just the bottom line. If we don't think that there's a God and it doesn't exist, I'm going to have to agree with you and say you're right. If you think God doesn't exist, He doesn't. How many people can get that one? Okay. Because God is faith. God is a spirit. And He manifests Himself to those who believe in Him. But He won't manifest Himself to those who don't believe in Him. So today, I want you to say, if you never knew God, you're here because somehow or another He's knocking on your door and He wants you to believe in Him. So now just change the way you're thinking and say, okay, I'm going to give it a chance. All right, there is a God. And if you have any doubts that there is a God, look around. Just look around. You see the trees, you see the new buds coming in spring. And what about when babies are born? Come on now. That's God, you know, bringing life into something that's just pretty incredible. So with all that being said, there is a God. And I know for a fact, life experience, that there is a God. For someone to happen like this to me is overwhelming. And even today, I look back and I start weeping because of the fact that I was once in bondage and enslaved, and now I'm free. And I'm going to emphasize on bondage and what it's like to be in slavery, because for one, you care. You care about what people think. You care about what people say. And that's a form of bondage. That's a form of slavery when you start caring about what people think or say. And then what about the thoughts that are going through your mind and how it just creates you to worry, or that nobody really cares, or nobody really loves, or no one really is understanding, or no one's there to help you, and you're out there all alone by yourself. And one of the greatest weapons that the forces of darkness does, and how many people know that we are living a life that is light and dark? Okay, light is like the good angels that are there to protect you and guide you and save you from those car accidents and when your car flips over and tumbles and it's in flames and then all of a sudden the light angels come and they save you and you live through it. Then you got the dark ones. The dark ones are there that rob you when you go out there and do things and next thing you know you lose and you're robbed and everything just seems to be, you know, never going right. Okay, that's the dark ones. And so there is a world that we live. Well, the dark ones have access to your brain. They have access to your mind. And they torment you. They make you think a certain way. And they cause your heart to trouble. It causes your heart to get upset. It lies to you. Dark forces lie to you. How many people have been victims of that? How about like, all of a sudden, you're prepared to go somewhere tomorrow, and right away, you got all these negative thoughts. And those negative thoughts are just making you all troubled. And you do things to try to prepare yourself and try to work things out, and it never works out the way you thought it works out. So after your day goes and you look back, it didn't even happen the way you thought it happened. How many people ever felt that type of victim? Okay. So we're victims every day. And the sad thing about it is if you have loved ones in your life, like children or wives, husbands, kids, whatever it is, you tend to let those lies come into our head too. Like for example, let's say you have a son or a daughter and they reach that age of 18 and they're going out now at night. And they're out with their friends. And as a good mom and a good dad, all of a sudden lies come in and start attacking us, right? Ah, they're getting in trouble, I know it. They didn't call yet. They're in trouble. Oh my God. And all these negative thoughts start happening, right? How many people have been victims of that? Okay. All right. These are mysteries. We don't understand why we think the way we think. These are mysteries. And if we understand the mysteries, we can understand how to live. And the mystery of that is that there are forces there trying to bring division. There's forces there that are trying to bring judgment and accusations. And right away, they're doing bad. It never fails. I was a victim. No matter what I did was always bad. And I was accused of being bad. Even when I was good, I was bad. And they never stopped. And I was condemned all my life until God changed my life. And when he changed my life, he took that condemnation out of me. He took the fact that people, when they would come and judge me, I knew the truth and I used to just look at them like, oh, you're so foolish. You're being attacked by these stupid little lies. And you created these lies, and they're causing division amongst us. They're making you hate me for no cause. Why do you hate me? You know, why are you judging me? I know I'm just trying to be a good person over here, surviving in life, and you're over here killing me. You start to realize the forces of darkness. You are enlightened by the truth, and the truth sets you free. So rather than getting angry and bitter at those individuals, I have more of a compassion now and more of a sense of, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I know what's going on in my life. I know my heart's okay. I know that I'm all right. I know I'm doing the best I can. It might not be what to your standards, but it's my life, and I'm doing the best I can. This is the life of God. God wants you to live your life with him. And to be able to be free from the powers of others. I want to say of others. But those others are influenced by darkness. We're all victims. We're all victims. How many people know this? We're all subject to fall from the glory of God. We're all subject. So even myself, I have to be careful that I don't judge my own kids. I don't judge my wife. I don't judge. I have to just put it all in God's hands. So this is why it's important to know God. This is why it's important to know the mysteries of God, because it sets us free. And to know the mysteries is probably the greatest gift that anybody could have. And I'm here to share the mysteries. Now, one of the things that was stirring in my heart was repent. That means change the way you think. Change the way you think. Not say you're sorry, okay? I don't believe in sorry. I don't believe in sin. Now, this is going to hurt some people. It's going to hurt a lot of religious people because they still hold on to sin. But I don't hold on to sin. I look at sin as it doesn't exist. Man-made sin through judgments. Man-made sin in the sense of pointing the finger as if you're doing something wrong. But if you take the individual, they don't mean to do any harm. If you really think about it, take your own self. Okay? Do you really mean to do harm? So if you don't really mean to do harm, I don't believe others really mean to do harm. I think the hurt and building the hurt and not understanding the truth causes them to do more harm than good. But the harm is only caused by hurts. And if we know God, He heals the hurts and takes away what you call sin. But I don't call it sin. I call it hurts. I call them wounds, deep hurts, established when we were younger. And it was only because we didn't understand. We were ignorant. And ignorance is really considered sin, not knowing the truth. And you might not understand what I'm saying right now, but hopefully you'll begin to understand as we go on. As you hear these messages and we build on the truth will set you free from sin. Let's put it this way. Okay, people think that sin existed and then Jesus Christ came and took away our sins. Okay? Because of one man dying on the cross took away the sins of the world. And then they still want to hold on to sin. Well, Jesus didn't take away our sins. I wanted to share this with you. Okay, He was an example, God laying His life down, and He was receiving the life that God has given Him and still held on to love. And based on holding on to that love, that showed how sin was taken away. He gave His life to God, and He trusted in God with all His heart, soul, and mind. And He followed that commandment that was on His heart, which made Him sinless. And this is the truth of the gospel. Sin didn't exist. I mean, if you really want to break it down and look at it, Adam and Eve and the first sacrifice, Sam's got something going on. What do you see, some angels behind me or something?
Sin entered the world because of one man's
disobedience, which was Adam. Yep. Sin entered the world because of one man's disobedience, which was Adam. Okay, but at the same time, that sin was taken away through the sacrifice. Well, there's a sacrifice that happened when they were naked, and then they killed the animal and, you know, clothed them and wasn't shown naked. And it was a form of showing a way of forgiving your nakedness, so to say. But, you know, we can keep going back and forth and, you know, argue and fight about all this nonsense, but that's what it is. It's just nonsense. Let's look at the year 2016. There is no more sin. It's gone. It's over with. If you want to hold yourself guilty, and if you want to make yourself look bad, and you want to whip yourself and beat yourself up, go right ahead. Then I'll agree with you and say sin exists. You dirty, nasty slob, you better start saying you're sorry, and you better confess to me 150 times, and then I'll see whether or not you're forgiven. And then I'll choose whether or not I want to forgive you. That's really what it comes down to, whether or not you're going to forgive me. Well, I look at it as I already received forgiveness. I received the love of God, and that love of God washed away all my sins. That love of God, let's keep it really simple. Let's talk about today. The love of God washed away my sins. And I don't have any sins. I don't hold myself guilty. And I'm very grateful for the love of God. He loves me just the way I am, rough, rugged, and raw. And I'm not going to change. I'm not going to become politically correct. I'm not going to put on a facade. I'm not going to pretend to be somebody that I'm not. I make mistakes. I'll be honest that there are times where I might lose my temper. But at the same time, what causes me not to sin is I let it be like water running off my back. and I don't hold on to it. It's like I get angry for a second, and then it's like I love you today, and I love you tomorrow, and I'll love you forever. It's just the way it is. But let's get back to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And this is what I want. All these things be added unto me. And I hope you feel the same way. How many people have dreams and hopes and visions, okay? You want things, and it's good to want things. I love these Christians that, you know, or people that find God, and they say, oh, I can't have anything. That's an abomination to God. You know, that's vanity. I can't have this. I can't have that. You know, no, you can have anything you heart's desire. Anything that God has laid on your heart, you can have. You can be, you can have. It's all good, okay? I want to make that clear. It's all good. I think the judgment of having this and not having that and stripping yourselves down. I mean, there are some people who get so radical, they strip themselves from completely everything. And that's just insane. I think to have nice things, to want nice things are fine and good and wholesome. Don't be ashamed to like these things. There are people out there that are ashamed. How many people understand what I'm saying? Okay, good. So, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, the question is what is the kingdom of God? Now, in Scripture, and I don't know if I have time to read some of this stuff, but there is some passages here that says in Luke chapter 4, verse 43. I'll just read that one. Luke chapter 4, verse 33. It says, now in the synagogue, let me make sure I got the right one. Now in the synagogue, a man who was a spirit received. No, that's not it. I don't know what that is. Luke chapter 4, verse 43. Okay, that wasn't 43. Here it is. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God. This is Jesus saying it. I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because this purpose I have been sent. This was the main reason for Jesus preaching. He says, I must preach the kingdom of God. I must preach the kingdom of God. And then there's another verse in here that says in Acts chapter 14, and I'm just going to briefly go over to that one, because I want everyone to understand that the gospel message is actually preaching the kingdom of God and to understand the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. It says here, and when they had preached the gospel to the city and made many disciples, they returned to Icom and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So it's not so much the importance of preaching the kingdom of God, but entering the kingdom of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God? Okay? I'm going to make it really simple. We live in 2016, right? So we got to have it in a simple form. Okay, let's be real. The simple way of putting the kingdom of God is like a happy place. Okay? We got to come into a happy place. How many people have heard the happy place? Okay. We have to enter into a happy place. And if we don't enter into this happy place, we're going to be destroyed. The mind is a very powerful weapon. I want to say a powerful weapon, because the mind plays tricks on us. It predicts the future when we don't even know what the future brings. And 99.9% of the prediction is all negative. How many people have entered into that garbage? And it's constantly attacking us over and over and over and over. So we have to say to ourselves, I got to get into the happy place. I got to get into the happy place. I got to get into the happy place. And you got to start tearing down the imaginations that enter into your head so that you can get into the happy place. Now, the happy place is not a fake happy place where if you smash your thumb, you don't go, oh, ha, ha, I smashed my thumb. Ha, 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 ha. I'm in the happy place. Ha, ha. No, that's actually a lie. That's a happy lie. That's a happy lie place. I don't want us to enter into the happy lie place. I want you to smash your thumb, and I want you to scream every word that you can think of, whether it's good, bad, right, or wrong, and get it out and say, ah, that hurt! That hurt! Damn, did that hurt! Because we have to be honest with ourselves when we enter into the kingdom of God. Honesty is the best policy in getting into the kingdom of God. But then you have to start getting into the happy place. After you got it all out of you and you say that damn, it hurt, you got to say to yourself, but you know what? It's going to get better. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. Let me get some ice and let me put it on there. It'll be okay. The swelling will go down. And start believing and start prophesying, basically, confessing that it's going to be okay. Because the mind plays tricks on you. I want you to know that. The mind begins to start manifesting your heart. And your heart actually conforms what you believe in. Okay? If your heart gets troubled, it's going to be trouble. If your heart begins to believe that your thumb is going to like never operate right, and it's just the swelling's never going to go down, and the thing's going to fall off, guess what? It's going to happen. Your thumb's probably never going to stop swelling, and it's probably going to end up falling off or never heal right. This is a mystery. And the kingdom of God, if you can come into it the way I'm telling you to come into it, it'll change your life. How many people believe in prophecy? Okay, good. Because prophecy is so important. It's your life. If you're going to speak life into you as this, it'll never work, I'll never mount up to anything, it'll never be good, it's hard, it's impossible, blah, 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 I don't know how this is ever going to get done, blah, 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 and believe it, and be alone and believe it, you're going to bring into existence what you believe in. But if you begin to believe in this, you prophesy and you say, this is hard. This is real difficult. I don't know if I can do this, but I'm not alone. And you bring some hope into it. You bring God into it and say, you know what? I can do this with him. You know, it is hard. See, you're bringing truth in, okay? But then you're bringing the kingdom of God in. You're not alone. You have support. You can do it through him. You can get it done, but through him. And you have help through him. You can get through it through him. If you begin to add God, which doesn't exist until you bring him into existence, there is a power that we don't know. There is a supernatural power that gets us through things that we can't get through. Now, you just have to believe me. That's just the way it is. I have given my life to this message for you to believe me. And that's just the way it is. If you don't believe me, your life will never change. Your life will be the same and it'll get worse because all you're doing is speaking negative thoughts and you don't have any power to support you to come out of that realm. And you're not calling upon, so to say, the name of the Lord. You're not calling upon the power of the universe. You're not calling upon God to empower you to get you out of that place. This is just the way it is. I know because that power, that same power, touched my life and pulled me out of that pit. I was in a pit that was so deep that I was on the verge of suicide. And instantly, in one day, I came out of that pit. And I didn't come out on my own. I was pulled out by a power, by a force, by something that gave me a positive outlook in life now to move on, to accept myself as who I am and know that who I am, there's greatness inside of me. I want you to know that there is greatness inside of you. And I look at the ones whose lives are being ripped up and torn up and lied to as so anointed, like they're kings in front of me. The more your life is screwed up and the more your life is lied to and deceived and you want to come out of it and you're sick and tired of being in that realm, I want to just go like this to you and say, it's a pleasure to meet you. Oh, hallelujah. You're anointed. And there's a purpose in your life that is greater than an eye can see. The ones that I have the same entire life, the exact same life, but they don't want to come out of it, they're the ones that I look at and say, you're disgusting and you're a pig. There are some like that. There are some who will refuse to come out of their pit, so to say. Well, they're not anointed. See, the anointing is something very, very precious. Okay? Now you have two identical things. You got two people that are seriously messed up. Just a disaster. How many people know those people? I was one of them. So I'm definitely no one of them for sure. But then you got one who is sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they want to come out of that disaster. That's the anointing. That's when it changes them from being a scumbag to the anointing Most High God. That changes their life. And that's when all heaven begins to go, ooh, instantly. Because I know, I was one of them. When I was taken into heaven, all heaven was just going, ooh, like the resurrected king. The Messiah has just came into the realm of heaven and here he is. And they were all rejoicing, not because of what I was, but what I was turning into. It wasn't what I didn't have, but what I knew now have. And it's called the anointing. It's called the anointing. The anointing of an enlightenment, a power to change. And anyone can receive it if they just hear my words. If you hear my words and you believe them, you too could be anointed and change in your circumstances, but not by your power, by a power that is on high, a power that has surpassed all understanding. Do you know that as soon as you become anointed, meaning repent, change the way you're thinking, get sick and tired of the place that you're at, start looking at where you're at and you want to change, you want a new life, as soon as that begins to happen, you become anointed. As soon as you become anointed, guess what? The darkness of the evil can't touch you. It's like you're protected. The lies that try to come to you aren't as powerful as they were before. The power starts to diminish. And the more you resist, this is the cool thing. The more you keep picking yourself up and say, listen, this is hard stuff, but I can do it with God now, the power of darkness begins to relinquish itself. It starts to slowly leave. And if you keep resisting it, you keep resisting it and walk with God, all of a sudden, they have no more power. And those addictions, those habits, those things that you say to yourself, why do I keep doing that I can't stop doing, begin to disappear. You begin to have power to overcome those things. See, Paul referred it to as sin. Okay? Why do I keep doing the things that I don't want to do and I keep doing them? And then he says, because it's sin that dwells within inside of me. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you that sin wasn't sin the way you think it is. That sin was just ignorance of not knowing who God is and the power that he has and the power he invested in you. See, you have so much power that's inside of you, you don't realize, and you can change with God if you just bring him into your life. That's how simple it is. It's not difficult. It's not like the 10 steps and you got to go through all this process. It's just a couple of things. One, get sick and tired of your situation. Literally, get sick and tired of your situation and then realize that you can't do it on your own. And nobody else is going to help you. You got to free up everybody and think that they're going to help you. Now, if they help you, great, accept it. But don't expect it, because you're going to be disappointed. And that's not going to help your growth get through. You got to lean on God and lean on God only and watch the power of God work in your life. And he'll move upon people's hearts to help you. And as soon as they help you, embrace it. Never let it go. Hold on to it tight and thank them dearly. But don't depend on it, because you'll be let down. How many people realize that you'll be let down? You'll be let down by, and the craziest thing in the way darkness works, okay, because they have all authority, believe me. On this world, darkness has all authority. Now, that might sound crazy, especially when someone's talking about God, and God is the one that has all authority in the whole entire universe, in the whole entire world. But that authority isn't given to him until you allow him to give it to you. It sounds like an oxymoron. But that authority isn't there until you accept God, and then that authority is now given to your life. But before that, all darkness has all authority over you. So now we have to tear that authority down. And the only way that we can tear that authority down is to unite with God. And this is why I tell the world, why God? Why God? And all you need to do is just believe. You just have to surrender your life. You have to throw it down, and you have to say, okay, I'm going to give you my life. I may not know who you are, God. And I've never really seen you, and all you are is a fairy tale to me. But I'm going to give it an effort. I'm going to try it. I challenge you to try it. I know that there are some here that probably rejected God for the longest time. I've been hearing about God all my life. I don't really believe that there is one. How many people have ever felt that way? I know I have. You know, where have you been, God? I'm going through all these problems. I feel like I'm asking and praying and yada, 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 and that things aren't coming to pass. I have a message, and I don't know what message that was. I have to go back and find out. But to see what God you're actually worshiping, because there's many other gods, and you might just be going to the wrong God. You got to go to my God. My God is truth. My God is different than most gods out there. My God loves you just the way you are, and there is no guilt and shame in my God. And if you're carrying any shame and guilt, it's hard to get to him. But with that being said, darkness works on the ones that are closest to you the most. Okay? And what I mean by, how much are you affected by those that are close to you the most? It could be your mother. It could be your father. It could be your sister. It could be your brother. It could be your best friend. But darkness doesn't affect the neighbor or the guy driving down the road who flicked you the bird. Okay? Darkness doesn't affect you that way, does he? Think about it. If you see your neighbor's like, ah! You're like, hey, how you doing, buddy? And you end up walking in the house and it doesn't bother you. Ah, he's an idiot. You know, and you go on doing your normal thing, right? But what about if it was your brother? Or what if it was your wife or your son or your daughter or your husband? It's a whole different story, isn't it? You seem to dwell on it. You seem to like get all upset and aggravated. Can't get it out of your mind. You're tormented for 3-4 weeks, some for years. Look at the power of darkness. working in areas that are closest to your life. And they're the ones that we have to learn how to tear down. They're the ones that we have to learn how to work with and be able to really bring God into the situation. And one of the things that helps me is you have no control. How many people realize that you don't have any control? You have no control what people say, how they accuse you, how they act. You have no control whatsoever. And when we get trapped in the middle of it, it is a nightmare. You hear about the problems from this person, and you hear about the problems from that person, and now it's your problem, but yet you didn't do anything, and you're involved. It gets ugly. How many people have ever got trapped into the web of darkness, I call it? And it's like, wait a minute. You're complaining and getting on me over this one, and I didn't do anything, and I'm drawn in it, and I'm brought in it, and my life is tormented. Has anyone ever been caught into the circle twine of the web? Okay, that's darkness. Yes, and if we can understand that, we can get out of it. And this is why we need the kingdom of God. This is why we need the mysteries. We got to come into the happy place. The happy place is you come to the truth. The truth is important. You have to look at the truth. They're complaining. They're upset. They're not happy. They're venting. They're not really meaning to take it out on me. Let's sit down and talk about this. Let's get it off our chest. How many people like talking about things? Most of us like to stick our head in the sand and hope it's going to go away. Well, communication is probably one of your greatest gifts that God can work with you and work through you. Because most of the time, we need to sit down and talk about these things. And when we have issues and problems, the best thing to do is confront them. You got to speak your heart. How many times have we been mistreated? And then we tend to just walk away angry, thinking that that's going to solve the problem. We might have to sit down and say, let's work this out. I'm doing the best I'm doing, and I'm trying my best, and you're not making it any easier by putting all this pressure on me. And we got to like ease up on the pressure, and if you want to help me, okay, I'll listen to see how you're going to help me. I may not agree with the way you're going to help me, all right, but let's work it out. Now you're working in the kingdom of God. Now you're giving the opportunity to say, okay, God, help me here. Talk to this person. Okay, God. And you can even get real manipulative if you want to. God, open up their eyes so that they can see my view. God, get them to change the way they're thinking so that I have great favor in you. Please. What we need to do is we need to just let the cards fall. And we need to ask God, God, give me the wisdom, give me the understanding, give me the patience to be able to work through this. And you'll be able to see how God will work through things. Now, I know that a lot of us right now have trials and circumstances in our lives that are challenging. How many of us here have challenges? Okay, well, guess what? Pandora's box is opened up to you. And they know you got them challenges. Now, the first thing to get out of the challenge is start bringing God into it. I guarantee if you just listen to me and apply to what I'm saying, and look, you might have just met God the first time today. I'm speaking to people all over the world. It might be the first time they ever thought about even asking God to help them with anything. This in itself is a power that's going to open up to you. And when you begin to start bringing God into it and say, God, let's do this together. Let's start. Help me out here. Share with me. Enlighten me. Give me the patience. Give me the understanding. Give me the guidance. Give me whatever you got. God, I need help. Man, you'll be surprised how fast your eyes open up. We are stuck in circumstances because we're not bringing God into our lives. And this is why I say we need God. We need God bad. So if I can have everybody just kind of bow their head for a moment, I'm going to close. Because I think we've got the message. We need God. We need to enter into the kingdom of God. We need to come to that happy place. We need to change the way we're thinking and realize that we're not alone. And then we have to come to truth. Yes, the guy's a scumbag. Yes, the girl's a scumbag. Yes, I smashed my thumb and it hurts. We got to come to the truth so that the truth can start setting us free. It is what it is. It's okay to look at an individual and see their fruit and call it what it is. But at the same time, if in that fruit there's repentance and that person is coming to a place of calling upon God and starting to change the way they're thinking, then you got to see the anointing. And when you see the anointing, you got to uphold that in reverence. You got to give them that fresh, clean slate and not hold anything against them from the past. If we're guilty to that, we need to change the way we're thinking. There might be certain people in our lives that have lived a certain way, and we may not have agreed to it. We might not have really thought that the way they might have been living was appropriate or whatever. We need to start giving that person some credit, and hopefully we see them changing the way they're acting or the way they are, and then begin to look at the anointing, because only the anointing can get us to change the way we're thinking. They could be here today. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of seeing an anointing. You might be here today. That's the beginning of seeing the anointing in your life and beginning to start seeing a new life in you and not hold yourself accountable for yesterday. You might have come to God and then ended up backsliding and then took God completely out of your life and you tried to do it on your own and then you realized you couldn't, so you decided to come back to Him. Guess what? It's a new day. If you left, tried it on your own, and you came back, it's a new day. We have to keep new days all the time fresh in our lives and not look back in the past. There's a scripture in this book that says, those that look back at the plow or whatever it is not worthy to enter into the kingdom of God. We got to stop looking back. I see greatness. Question is, do you see greatness? I see potential. And you might think that you're a certain age and you might have missed it, but you just began. I look at my life and I say, oh God, you call me into ministry and I'm 50 years old now starting a whole new life. But that's the beginning. As if I was 20 starting a new life. God wants to start a new life. He wants a new life in you. He wants a new life in your relationships. And we didn't miss anything. So God, I ask those that heard the message today, open their ears up so that they can begin to understand the importance of the world that we live in and how important it is to come out of that world, come out of that place of thinking a certain way and getting us to look in it through different eyes. So God, only you can open up our eyes as you opened up mine and allowed me to see. Open up their eyes so that they can see that there is a different world, a happy world, a world that doesn't condemn us. And those that do condemn us are only because they're in sin. They're ignorant. They don't see. And that we can be able to see with an understanding and our hearts changed. If they choose not to change and repent. Give us the power to wipe the dust off our feet and move on. But if there's an indication of repentance, give us that heart of remorse and love so that we can be there and not judge. Change us so that we can have a heart like you, God. Love unconditionally, but yet at the same time, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Lord, let us not be those people that are tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine, not knowing how to live. But let us live in truth. Let us know you, God. Let us know the truth so that that truth can set us free, not tormented, not unsure by doctrine, but know the truth so that truth can put our foot down and say yay or nay. And that those will come into the truth, come into the kingdom of God. And then all these things will be added unto us. I pray, amen and amen. I'm going to ask Brother Sam if he would come up and close us. And I want to know that today I'm not going to open up the altars to minister with anyone. I believe God is starting a work right now in showing us and bringing us into the kingdom. But I will say, if you're here today, you're here because of a special reason. God wants to do something special in your life. And it's no joke. It's no joke. And we have to yield to that life that he wants to give us. And we don't have to be concerned on where it is. We don't have to be frustrated in trying to find out, okay, God, what do you want from me then? All you have to do is be honest with yourself and start listening to what you feel. What is it that you feel? And then surround yourself with those that will agree with you. Okay? I agree with you. The whole world may not agree with you, but one thing I do agree is what your heart is saying to you. That's the only truth that I know is what is in you. You know, there's a big mystery. What is truth? And you can take your rights and wrongs and your goods and bads, and you can put that as truth. But how I label truth is what is on your heart. How are you feeling? That's truth to me. If you're feeling upset, you're upset, and that's truth. I'm not going to say, nah, you shouldn't feel that way. No, I'm going to say, you know what? You are. And why? Let's sit down, find out why. And then let's work on trying to get it better. Let's fix it then if you're upset. And if you're happy, I want to be happy with you. I may not understand what's making you happy, but I'll support it. You know? Might even get involved. Who knows? But understand God and the love of God. Renounce religion, because religion kills. But there is truth and love, and it's all in you. It's all inside here. Amen? Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Brother Sam.
Real quick, the Lord wrote a law or a life on everyone's heart. He handpicked you. He wrote a law. He wrote a life for you, and it's inside of you. And many of us spend our whole lives trying to find that life. We know there's something else. We know there's something else out there. And we battle the world and everything the world says, you should be doing this, you should be doing this, you should be doing this. And they put parameters on you, and they put these binders on you, and they say, this is what you should be doing. If you're not doing this, you're falling short. And the world beats you up and lies to you and tells you all these things. But inside your heart, there's that law always talking, saying, no. There's something better for you out there. There's something greater for you out there. And, you know, what pastor teaches and what we teach in here is that, look, we'll help you find that life. We'll help you find it. That's our job. Our job isn't to satisfy ours. Our job is to help you find your life, because everyone has one. God wrote a law on everybody's life in here. He wrote a law on everybody's heart. And the fear, the worry, the anxiety that the world puts on you separates you and lies to you and tells you you'll never attain the life. You'll never have what your heart's desire. Kurt's son came in to buy a car, and I don't sell cars to people in this church. I'm scared to death about doing it. You know, I don't want to do anything wrong. I make sure everything is perfect, the best I could do. The deal's always perfect. So I'm real sensitive when it comes to dealing with people in the church when I'm selling them cars. And Kurt saw this Jeep, and in his heart, he wanted the Jeep, but he felt like, I can never have that Jeep. That's not for me. First thing comes to our head is, that's not for me. You see what's in your heart, and God says, this is for you, and you say, I can't afford that, I can't have that, and the doubt comes in. And God knew his heart. God handpicked that Jeep for that kid. He handpicked it. I didn't pick that Jeep for him. God did. God is out working for you all the time. You just have to find, through your peace, the avenue that he has for you. You have to keep your peace. The only control you have in this world is control over yourself. You can't control anybody else. And the truth that we give you in here gives you that control. The only way you can have control over yourself is by listening to the messages in here over and over and over and getting this truth inside of you. That's weapons. The truth in this place are weapons against the lies from the world. What's the lie saying? You're not where you should be. You're not where you should be. But the lie always says you're not where you should be financially. You're not where you should be in your job. You're not where you should be in your relationship. You're not where you should be. You're not where you should be. Well, God says you are where you should be. Exactly the place you're supposed to be at the right time in your life. God has put you here. He's got his hand on you. He's never missed a step. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. Don't listen to the lie. The lie says you're not, but God says you are. He's in control of you, and he who began a good work, he will be faithful to complete it till the end. You don't have to worry about anything. Just sit back and enjoy your life. Sit back and see what God has for you. Start looking at your life unfolding. Start looking at the things he has for you in your heart. We'll help you. Listen to the message in here. You start seeing your life unfold. You start seeing the things that he has for you, and you start knowing why you're going through what you're going through. If you don't know why you're going through hell, you better realize why so you don't have to keep going through it. Why do you keep going through the same thing over and over again? Why do the same people keep aggravating you? Why do we keep going through the same struggles every single day? Because we're not learning. We're not realizing that God's putting them in your path for a reason. Instead of fighting these people, let's embrace them. Let's thank God and see why he's teaching us patience. He's teaching us selflessness. He's trying to teach us, and we're sitting here going, why do we go through this? Same people every day getting in front of me on the road. Every day the same people. Every day. They find me. They get in front of me and find me, and they go 10 miles an hour every day. And I'm sitting there going, why do I go through this hell every day of my life? Because I'm not learning. Why do we suffer? Because we're not learning. If you want the suffering to stop, repent. Start thanking God for the people who he puts in your life that aggravate you. Start recognizing them, those people, and saying, ha, 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 I see you. Now I see the tactic of the enemy. Because the enemy is basically your thinking. So we overcome our thinking, we win. So listen to the message in here. Realize that everything you're going through for a reason. Nothing's by accident. God hardens every heart and softens every heart in your life. The person in front of you getting angry at you, they don't have control of themselves. You do. They don't have the truth you have. You have the truth. So what's the difference between you and them? If they get pissed, you get pissed. Who wins the battle? Nobody. We're supposed to be above that. We're supposed to be different, set apart. We're supposed to have truth that gives us peace and joy. See, faith is peace beyond all fear, worry, and anxiety. That's what faith is. It's peace beyond all fear, worry, and anxiety. That's faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So keep listening to the messages. Keep applying the truths in here. And I'm telling you, they're going to change your life. They will give you the truth. They'll give you the foundation to overcome the lies. And you'll always have peace because you'll know the tactic of the enemy. You'll know why they're trying to steal your joy. You'll know why they're trying to steal your peace. And you'll start repenting and overcoming in those areas. So listen, we have a birthday cake for Olivia and Elizabeth. So if you guys want to stay for cake, we'd love to have you. And have a great week, okay? God bless.